Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
We're starting with Adam. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Aki and Bree are here. Jacob's pooping. He'll be here in a bit. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good, you?
Yeah, I've been having a pretty good week, except one of my cats is sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's been sneezing for like a day now. And his eyes are real watery, so I'm going to take him to the vet, I think, Monday, if he's not better.
Oh.
Yeah. Hopefully it's nothing serious.
Hope so. What about you, Aki? How's your week?
It's been good. I'm dog sitting. And that's about as far as that goes. It's fine. Nothing exciting.
Cool. Cool.
How about you?
Should we just dive into the news?
Yes.
Please. Our
last episode was 3.5 hours. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. I was going to say, the only other exciting thing I did this week is I made cheese from scratch. It was garlic rosemary cheese, like a cream cheese spread. And I made it with some half and half that was turning south. And yeah, it was really, really good. I just finished eating it today on some bread. And yeah, it was good stuff. I was like addicted to it.
Nice. I had like 4 bites of a salad today. That's all I've been able to eat.
Jesus.
Yeah. I went to bed.
You know, there's...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're continuing your story. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I went to bed at like 1 last night. I got out of bed at 7 this evening.
Oh, damn.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
There's Jacob.
Hey.
He's done pooping. How are you, Jacob?
I've been better. Me and the kids have gotten sick with whatever stomach bug has been going around, and also some sort of like fever sinus thing. Like, we're getting hit with like 2 different things at once, and it just really sucks. Yeah,
the joys of being a parent.
Yeah. So, speedrun news. Xbox released a brand new Game Pass exclusive bonus game called Retro Classics, made in conjunction with Ant Stream Arcade. It is a compilation of over 50 titles from Activision's history from the 80s and 90s, with the promise to expand over 100. It is cloud-based, so you're not downloading anything.
Are there achievements tied to it?
Yes.
Yes, there are
13 achievements. That's it.
And there's challenges, competitive leaderboards, high score rankings.
If you've played Ant Stream Arcade, it's that, but Activision.
Okay. Do we have to pay for like a
subscription? No, it's Game Pass.
It's Game Pass.
All right, but if you don't have Game Pass, do you have to like pay for
it? If you don't have Game Pass, you don't play it.
Oh.
I'll be back. I'm taking the dog out to go potty.
Go have fun. Oh. Yeah, it is Game Pass only.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of games on there. I'm not going to list all of them. Barnstorming's on there. That's a good one. Chopper Command. That's a good one. Conquests of the Longbow, The Legend of Robin Hood from DOS. That's fun. there was a full entire line ad for Ant Stream Arcade, which is nice. Got to find ways to spend more money. Fishing Derby, Kaboom, which is a good one. Hero, I like that one as a kid. MechWarrior from the Super Nintendo and MechWarrior 2 from the PS1 are on there.
I heard about the MechWarrior 2. That's pretty cool.
So say it has Atlantis, which is one of my favorites as a kid.
And 2, Atlantis 2.
I haven't played Atlantis 2.
Yeah, Pitfall 1 and 2, too. And River Raid 1 and 2.
Nice.
Yeah. They have Space Quest 2 and Space Quest 6.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
The Adventures of Willie Beamish on Amiga and Genesis. Title Match Pro Wrestling, Zork and Zork Zero. And of course, the biggest title on there, Venetian Blinds.
Which I'd never heard of until earlier today.
A number pops up, and you got to either raise or lower the blinds to match the number of blinds to the number. You get a score based on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was on Game Room on the Xbox 360. I want to say that was one of the like one of the last games they put on there. Hmm. Yeah, it's dumb. But it got me an achievement, so rock on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all gonna play this?
Probably not.
I don't know.
It's like maybe I'm trying to find a list of everything. Like, so I could just like quickly breeze through it and okay, here we go. Activision prototype number one.
Yep.
Huh.
I'll put it in gaming news. There's the full list. I post it as an image. God. There. Thing. There. Yeah, the full list is in gaming news and info. If anybody in the chat wants to check it out.
Zork.
Okay. I said that.
I wasn't listening to you. Oh, Star Voyager. Okay, cool.
If you're not in our Discord, jump in our Discord. Hang out with us. Keep us company. We're always having fun in there. I'm lying. We don't have fun.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I post pictures in there. I posted the picture that I used for the latest episode on there. That's Spray Paint Simulator with Hulk Hogan's face on the fucking garage door. His ugly, ugly face. With his bulging eyes and his fake blonde hair. I hate that.
That's attached to his bandana.
Yep. Xbox Game Pass. Bunch of games were announced. May 21st, we got Retro Classics as well as Monster Train 2.
Okay.
Okay.
May 22nd, Tales of K'Zera Zhao.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. May 27th, we're getting The Division 2.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
May 28th, to a T.
No idea what that is.
I don't think I do either. Is that a golfing game?
No.
That's a good guess, though. I don't know what
it is, but it's not golf. It's just the letter T, not T-E-E. Yeah. May 29th, big one, May 29th. Spray Paint Simulator.
Yay!
Nice, I might actually look at that one.
And Metaphor ReFantazio.
I am so excited for that.
I was excited about that one, too, yeah.
Hell yeah. June 3rd, that's Symphonia and Crypt Custodian.
Symphonia was a great precision platformer. It's a beautiful game.
Cambio, good news. Games are leaving on May 31st. We're losing five games. Firework on PC is leaving. Mm-hmm. I played that because it's Windows only. Cassette Beasts, Humanity, Remnant 2, which is a bummer, and Slayer's X, Terminal Aftermath, Vengeance of the Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
That is a long title, and I've already forgotten a good chunk of it.
The bummer is Remnant 2, I think.
Yeah, that's because that's a big game, because chances are, even if people have started playing that when that first was put on Game Pass, they probably still haven't finished it, because that's not an easy one to 100%. Yeah, so that's a shame.
There were a couple other games that are just moving to like Game Pass Core or Standard or whatever. I don't pay attention to that.
Who cares?
Game Pass Ultimate's the only tier I care about, so that's the only tier I'm reporting on. Yep. Hellblade 2 is hitting PS5 this summer.
Okay.
Good for them. They get to see a good game.
Yeah, it's going to be an enhanced edition that is going to be a free update on Xbox and PC. So there you go. Nice. On the flip side, nothing is coming to Xbox from PlayStation. So.
Of course, because they're cunts.
Embracer Group is splitting up and renaming. Coffee Stain Group will spin off onto their own, and Embracer is going to rebrand to Fellowship Entertainment.
Okay.
Why?
How the mighty have fallen. To escape
the name, I guess.
Yeah.
They have such a negative connotation. Like, Embracer is so, like, shunned and frowned upon these days that they just gotta rebrand.
But the problem is, it's not like they're going to change what they've been doing, buying things and then getting rid of everyone associated with those things to sell off that shit.
They
haven't
been doing that for a while. They've actually just been releasing shit lately. So, as long as they stay on that path, good for them.
We'll see how long that lasts.
The director of Avowed has left Obsidian to go to Netflix Games to work with the Oxenfree team.
Yeah, saw that.
That's a bummer. I loved Avowed.
Yeah, it's been fun what I've played of it so far.
Yeah.
Granted, I haven't played it since I reviewed it, but I've been busy. That was really enjoyable. That's the only game in that franchise I've ever played, and it has kind of made me want to play the other ones because I've really enjoyed it.
Well, they're completely different genres. So.
Oh, I know. That's the only thing that gives me any pause whatsoever is because I know the genre the rest of the games are in isn't exactly the genre that I particularly care for.
Yeah.
But the Avowed was so good that it made me at least want to try it just to see if maybe I might like it just because of the story.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen for me often, so they did good.
Let's see here. Warhammer 40K Space Marine getting a Master Crafted Edition for current gen. It's coming out June 10th. And from what I see, it was only announced for PC and Xbox, Series X and S. I don't know if PS5 is coming or if it's coming later or what the hell's going on. It will be on Game Pass. So rock the fuck on.
Nifty. Yeah. And is that just a remake of the first game?
Yes.
Or yep. Okay,
cool. Remake of the 360 game.
Cool. I might have to play that because I've only heard good things about the second one, so I have to assume the first one was just as amazing.
I love the first one. My love for the first one is why I bought the second one with that cool ass statue.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if this version's going to get a physical release and if it's going to have a kick ass statue too.
Doubt it.
Nah, that's a shame.
This was fun news I did not expect. Idea Factory announced that Scarlet Salvation, which is releasing May 29th on PS4, PS5, and Steam, will be hitting Xbox in the fall.
Fuck yeah.
An Idea Factory game coming to Xbox. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
What about you, Aki? Excited for more Idea Factory on Xbox?
Yes. Yes, I am. Though I'm not sure exactly what game that is.
It is not an RPG.
Huh. Okay.
It is a third-person shooter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. I do like those two.
Yeah. Well, by Compile Heart and coming to console thanks to Idea Factory International.
Oh, there it is. I just found it on Steam. Oh, that's pretty. Oh, yeah, I'm excited for this now. This is gorgeous. I like this look.
Well, hits Xbox in the fall. So thank you, Idea Factory.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Last bit of news I have is that Randy Bitchford of Gearbox talked like a fool again this week. When a Twitter user asked about rumors of the game having an $80 price tag, he replied, A, it's not my call. It's bullshit because he's the fucking boss. And B, if you're a real fan, you'll find a way to make it happen. So I'm not buying Borderlands 4 now.
When people say shit like that, it just, oh, that pisses me off so much. It's like, okay, fuck you. I'm never buying a game from you ever again, period.
I mean, Borderlands 4 was on my wish list, and I removed it because of him.
I mean, as I posted on the Facebook page, I'm just like, all right, I'll make it happen. I'm just going to buy it in 2 years when it's down to $10 for the ultimate edition, you know, during some sort of holiday sale. So
thankfully for me, this is an easy one to not buy because I don't particularly like Borderlands at all. I think I got the first Borderlands one.
I actually borrowed it from Jacob and ended up buying it myself because what was it? We went to some game convention and you picked it up, but you didn't have a working Xbox at the time, so you let me borrow it and play it.
We went to a game convention?
Yeah, I think in Philly.
No?
I thought you went with me to that.
No. Nope.
Why did I borrow it then? Because I know I borrowed it from you, and I thought I got it at that game convention with you.
No, because I bought it from GameStop. I got it when it first came out, because the folks at GameStop would just be like, oh, it's a good thing that you came in to get it, because like we're sold out of our non pre-order copies. And I only had like the end of the day to pick it up.
I'm mixing it then.
I mean, you might have borrowed it from me because
borrowed it from you.
Because I didn't get the Red Ring of Death. I got the Red Ring of Death with Modern Warfare 2,
yeah,
on launch day. And so like my Xbox is out of commission for like 2 months.
Yeah, see, I have the first two Borderlands games. I don't particularly like the game itself. Like, the gameplay is very meh to me. I like the side characters and little side stories. Like, I pretty much loved all of the DLC stories that were in them. The gameplay are just very meh to me. So it wasn't too hard for me not to really want to buy this anyways, but that just sealed the deal on me wanting anything from that company ever the fuck again.
Yeah.
My enjoyment for the Borderlands series comes from playing with friends. So if my friends aren't going to put out money for the game when it comes out, neither am I.
Fair.
Are you calling us friends?
No, she's referring to her friends.
Burn. Yeah, I like the first one a lot. I really enjoyed the second one and played a lot of the DLC. Pre-sequel, I was like, just kind of bored me.
Weird. Yeah.
I never played 3, even though I have it. And now I'm just not going to fuck with 4 at all.
Yeah, see, my favorite thing about the main part of those games is the sirens. Because they're attractive, and that's it. That's all I care about.
Yes, we know. Aki, what news do you have?
You should already know the answer to that.
Bree, what news do you have?
The Steam version of Stellar Blade, a previous PS5 exclusive, has been blocked from sale in over 100 countries for some unstated reason. Blocked. But it seems like it's being looked into before their June 11th release.
I'm pretty sure it's because it's published by Sony, and if you're not in a Sony supported region, you can't buy it.
Yeah, because
it's like all their other games.
Yeah, Sony specifically set up blocks to block most of their games from being sold in countries where they don't have PSN, even though they no longer require the PSN login in order to play their games at all anymore.
Yeah,
it seems like they didn't get rid of that, which is silly, I think. But yeah. I'm sure they'll hopefully get rid of the block so people can actually enjoy the fucking game, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It is Sony. They're used to doing incredibly fucking stupid things. So
yeah. There's some new game server closures. X-Defiant is closing on June 3rd, Resident Evil Reverse on June 29th, and Madden NFL 21 on June 30th.
I'm surprised the Resident Evil one hadn't already been shut down. I thought that was shut down years ago.
I know, right?
I heard about that game when like 7 or 8 came out, when it was part of it, and then didn't hear a single thing ever again about that. I didn't even know it still existed. I thought that was just something that was vaporware.
Horror Acolyte brought up some news in chat. Lost in Cult is going to start doing some physical collector's editions of games. Mm-hmm. Their first 3 games are The Excavation of Hobbs Barrow on the Switch, Thank Goodness You're Here on Switch and PS5, Immortality on PS5.
Which is a beautiful ass game.
Nothing on Xbox.
Nothing on Xbox, yeah. Curve Games, the publisher of games like Human Fall Flat and For the King 2, have been acquired by Nazara Technologies, an Indian gaming company.
Never heard of them.
I missed that.
Like, are they distributors of anything that we would know? Or
I did not find any information on that. They do a lot of mobile, it looks like, and some other stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I already don't trust them now. They're molded.
Well, I mean, it might just be like they're trying to get a footing into console gaming, and like, you know, you buy somebody with a proven track record.
Mm-hmm. The FTC finally dropped their case against Microsoft's Activision Blizzard deal. It's only been 2 years since the deal went through.
Yeah.
Those Microsoft executives could finally sleep at night under their huge piles of cash.
Yeah. DreamCore, the liminal space horror game I reviewed a few months back, is getting new content on June 17th that will be free to current owners of the game, but the price will be going up from $8.99 to $11.99 and will likely go up again when other chapters come out. So if you're thinking about the game, get it now before the price goes up, and you too can get the future content for free with your game.
Okay. Thank you, Bojangles.
Interesting.
After a couple years...
Did you say Merge was acquired? Is that...
No, Curve.
Curve. Okay, that's...
Yep.
I thought you said Merge.
No, Curve.
I was like, wait, didn't they shut down last year?
Did they?
Merge, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Zordix shut them down late last year.
Gotcha.
I'm just going to pretend I know who these people are.
After a couple years as a game preview, The Wandering Village will finally be fully releasing on PC and consoles on July 17th, and I'm very excited. I went back and streamed other updates recently.
I didn't realize that wasn't already a full release.
No, this game preview, they about a month ago, they had like a final big push of like updates and things, and it sent out to influencers that had previously played the game to like, please take a look at it again and tell us your final thoughts, because we're going forward with this. And now they've officially put their release date out for July 17th. So I'm excited.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then I have Movie Watch.
Woo!
Oh,
play the jingle.
I'm getting there. It's Movie Watch. There.
A live-action Elden Ring movie is on the way from A24 with Alex Garland set to direct. He directed Ex Machina, among some other films. And I just learned that George R.R. Martin helped create the game.
Yep.
And he's listed as a producer for the movie as well. I did not know that. And if you don't know A24 or A24, they make a lot of indie movies like Death of a Unicorn and Everything Everywhere All at Once. So there you go.
Dang, that is breaking news. Only got announced like 2 hours ago.
Yes.
Hey, did you guys see Conan O'Brien got a special A24 film from Paul Rudd?
I did not.
No.
On his podcast. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. It was Mac and me.
Of course it was.
If you know Paul Rudd's running gag with Conan of showing the clip of Mac and me of the kid rolling down the hill in the wheelchair, that's what he did again.
Gotcha.
And he got Conan. And the video clip, he's just sitting there watching it, deadpan face, like, I can't believe he got me. That's one of my favorite running gags in all the comedy. Paul Rudd. Fucking with Conan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a YouTube compilation that's like 10 minutes long of every single time he's done it, and it's amazing.
I'm gonna go have to watch that now.
Yeah. But that's all the news I have.
All right, Jacob, what do you got?
The only news I have is SAG-AFTRA has called out Fortnite over the Darth Vader AI voice. They actually don't have a problem with AI being used. It's the fact that it's that no other voice actors were like, they didn't try to contract out to voice actors first.
I don't think anyone has the right voice for that anymore.
They've had some people do the voice in games.
Oh, yeah. They have?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, there's plenty
for
of
sound years. Yeah, since like 1993 at the very earliest. At least with Dark Forces. The only other news I have is that Sesame Street has a new home on
Streaming. I was so happy to see this news.
Yeah.
It will now be showing on Netflix later this year. And the nice thing is that unlike the agreement that they had to strike with HBO Max when it was originally called HBO Max, and then,
which it is now again.
Yep.
Yeah, which is now again called HBO Max. In that deal, they had to wait 6 months before new episodes could air on PBS. Mm-hmm. Now they will air the day of that they drop on Netflix.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Netflix doing something good for once.
I know. Yeah. I was surprised.
Cool. All right. Any other news?
Nope. That's all I got.
Anyone else?
God, nope. No.
Y'all ready for reviews then?
Yes, please.
Let's do it.
All right. First up, Coolabra and the Souls of Limbo, developed by Gala, published by Fellow Traveler, released May 16th on Xbox Series X and S, Switch and PC for $19.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Use your wits, kindness, and maybe a good whack to gather clues, items, and evidence that will help the residents of Limbo move on. Untangling an afterlife is no easy feat, especially when you don't have feet. Everyone cover this. Who wants to start?
I can.
Go for it.
All right. You are Culebra, a skeletal snake with a glowing blue fire for eyes. You've got gems at the tip of your tail, and you are stuck in Limbo. Limbo is a place where...
And you are the cutest thing.
Yes. Limbo is a place where lost souls dwell in a maze of regrets, and they are stuck in a loop repeating the same day over and over again, their emotional baggage tagging along, even in the afterlife. Culebra does not remember much, as he is also in Limbo. But upon helping an old lady, he gets the advice that if he helps others, he might find his purpose. You get a notebook given to you and a watch. The old lady gives these to you, and they automatically keep notes for you on different souls that you meet. In your pocket watch, you use to keep track of time, which is important. The game supports, five chapters, a day-night cycle, and changes where NPCs are and what they're doing. So you can only talk to certain characters at specific times, or they may have different interactions at those times of day. To pass time in the game quickly, you can sit on a bench and move to the next time of day that you need. You'll also find objects to help the souls move on or make trades with them for help or information. Some conversation tree options are locked until you learn more about the characters that you're trying to help. Some items are bound and will always be returned to their location at the start of each day. So that's part of the puzzle. Because Limbo is on a loop for all the souls there, you have to really think about things at their different times of day. Reminded me of some other games with similar mechanics like Kraken Academy, another game published by Fellow Traveler.
I love that game.
I did too. And if you... You'll be having a lot of the same conversations over and over with characters trying to figure things out. Thankfully, they've included a skip button. If you aren't familiar with Kraken Academy, we did learn in last week's interview with the devs that this was a heavily Majora's Mask-inspired game for the time mechanic, which is something I never played, so totally over my head there. But most of the game is puzzle-solving, trying to get to a particular goal, like unlocking a gate to get to the next area or getting aboard a train. But to get there, you have to solve several puzzles along the way that you'll solve by talking with people at the different times of day, solving their problems. You might need to use tools and items you come across, which you can use and combine with ease. You might need to eavesdrop on a conversation at a particular time of day to know to ask a question at another time of day during the loop. And paying attention to what everyone says or paying attention to that journal is crucial at certain points to know what to say. There are some little mini games like lockpicking, there's some stealth mazes, there's running sections. You also earn money called pearls. You can find them on the map from meteor showers or smashing into stuff. You can turn into a little ball and spin and move faster on the map as Culebra or smash stuff with your spinny move. And some areas of the game will tell you how many pearls there are to find in certain locations, which was really helpful because you do need the monies to get through the game.
It's, if you look at the bulletin board in every town, and some towns have multiple bulletin boards, depending on how big they are, that helps you find out how many pearls you have left.
Yeah, still and up. Other things to find, like on the train.
This is a heck of a game. Like, you're going to be playing this for a while.
I don't know.
Really?
You can play this game in either... I think it's like a 10-hour game.
Okay. I mean, that's still a long time for me.
That's fair. You can play the game in English or Spanish, with the vocals being a nonsense language that accompany the text. The game auto-saves, but also allows you to manually save before exit. It allows you to remap buttons in the settings, which is nice. The art is papercraft, and it is darling, with bright color palette, and that color palette changes with the day-night cycle. It's beautiful.
This game is so fucking beautiful. It really is. I really love the art style.
And the music is interesting, too. It's live instruments as opposed to digital. The heavy guitars in the end sequence were great. The music supports the emotional nature of the game very well and highlights the lighter moments, too. There's a good amount of levity in this game. The characters are quirky, like in the wrestling section. I think I laughed a lot during some of that. And the story is heartwarming. Some of the cursed characters are a little stubborn or self-centered or just plain jerks, and that is sometimes why they're still cursed. There are times when the cursed are faced with moving on and they just don't want to, so boss fight time. But this isn't a fighting game, so you're going to be faced with some trivia and puzzles, and we have to use Calibre's bright inner light to quell the darkness in the cursed souls to help them move on. And while there are some heavy topics touched on in the game, it's never too graphic about it. I got a little teary-eyed at a couple parts of the game, so, yeah. There's a bigger mystery about the lost souls that we have to find out what's really causing so many souls to be so angry and agitated, and if there is someone behind it, will our light and heartfelt actions go unnoticed? I mentioned earlier there's 5 chapters to love. I would say the game takes around 10 hours. Each area of Limbo has its own flavor, as well as different challenges. The second area is a dusty western town. The third area is a vibrant populous place called Plaza. There was an impactful little moment for me where the question is asked whether Calibre knows his purpose in Limbo or if he's just running errands as a part of another person's story. And that hit me right in the existential feels. And there are quotes at the beginning of each chapter, like at chapter 4. It says, the power of one's actions can extend beyond the limitations of one's self. And I'd say if you let it, this game is like really a lesson in empathy. And my other note here that I have is we learned that there'll be free DLC coming to the game. When we talked to the devs last week, they mentioned that. So that's exciting to contemplate as well in your decision on whether or not you want to play this game.
I forgot about that.
Haki, your thoughts?
I thought the game was pretty fun. I didn't get as far into it as everyone else probably did, just because I had a lot of visual novel to work on. but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it made me cry a couple of times. I thought it was really good. It's been an emotional couple of weeks for me with all the sad games. But I really like it, and I think he's adorable.
Yeah, he is. Oh, I was gonna say, like, teary-eyed games, like emotional games. Yeah, and I'm playing ones for next week too. Ugh.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Jacob, your thoughts on Calibre?
I thought it was a really cool adventure game. Very much in the realm of the point-and-click adventures, but even though it's not one, but anyway. Yeah, the art style's beautiful. Like, I mean, we've already talked about the story. I thought that the boss battles were interesting with that. First off, having to remember details about the different people and making them, like, realize stuff. It reminded me a lot of Rainbow Billy from a few years back.
Yeah, good I can game. See that. Yeah.
Yeah, where empathy also played a large role in that. And I really dug this. Like, this is a fantastic game. Beautiful through and through. Like, you really should not sleep on this one. I'm glad it's on Game Pass as well.
Mm-hmm. So I really like that you can fuck up a lot during the boss battles. And it doesn't penalize you too much. You're able to screw up a whole bunch in the trivia and still win without too much issue, and I really appreciate that personally.
I mean, if you restart, like, the game just, you know, puts you back at, like, the last checkpoint, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never get penalized too bad.
Honestly, yeah. I didn't even think anyone was going to fail any of them because they are
Aki.
Well, again, it gives you so many chances.
Yeah, it's Aki. We get it. So it gives you so many chances.
Get better. Get on my level, scrub. Jeez.
Right. If you want to hear more about the game, feel free to go check episode 1043, The Souls of Danglepeen. I love that name. We have such dumb names anymore. That's Ryan's fault anyway.
Yep.
$20. I need verdicts.
Yes.
Absolutely. Buy it. Yep.
Buy it. Buy it or play it on Game Pass.
Buy
or
it.
Both.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could do both. Yeah.
Is everyone in agreement?
Like fucking yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Bro. Mm-hmm. Next game, Palia, developed and published by Singularity 6 Corporation. Released May 13th on Series X and S and PS5, is a free-to-play game. Discover a welcoming world in Palia, a free-to-play fantasy life sim adventure where you can craft, explore, and create the life and home of your dreams. With nearly endless ways to make Palia your home, you'll find relaxation and joy in every corner of this vibrant, heartwarming world. Aki and Jacob, both of you check this out. Aki, start us off. What's Palia?
This is a slice of life survival crafting game. You go around, you make stuff, you build up your little base thing, and you do chores for people. And that's a majority of the game right there. I did not particularly enjoy this game, if you couldn't tell. It's just not my style of game. I just thought it looked cute, so I decided I would try it. It turns out it still just isn't for me, no matter how cute it is. And
well, before you say it's not for you, you should tell us what it is first.
Well, I went through all the tags for it. You wake up in this future world, maybe? I don't know. Maybe alternate reality, who knows? And humans are waking up from these ancient machines and just poofing into the world. And you're given a little plot of land by the new people that live on the planet and are told, hey, yeah, this is yours. Do whatever the hell you want with it. And here's all these people who can teach you what to do. And then you're taught different things for like 2 hours straight. And I kind of lost track of things because there was too much. Which is one of the reasons why it wasn't for me. There's a lot of tutorial in this, and it's very hard to focus that long for me. So, I'm gonna turn this over to Jacob because he understands these games really well and he plays them regularly. So I'm hoping he managed to do something with the game because I don't feel like I got fucking anywhere in it.
So
I found two things I really liked, and that's what I focused
on. What were the things you liked, Aki?
There's a little game where you can run around and you can throw bait at bugs, and once they get confused, you can run up and pick them up, and that was really fun. And you can also cut down things and mine things, which just gets rid of clutter from the map, and I just really like doing that.
You cleared the map and caught bugs.
Yeah. Yeah, that was basically all I was doing, yeah.
Sounds like you got the point of the game. It's just the life sim. There's not supposed to be any, like, hardcore meaning to the game.
Yeah, but you need to do all the other stuff, too, and I kind of didn't.
God. Jacob, what did you do in this game?
So, in this game, as Aki was saying, you like humans are suddenly waking up. The thing is that we disappeared like ages ago, and it's very much set in like kind of it could eventually turn into some sort of sci-fi thing, but it's pretty much fantasy without the danger. Like, so, you're mining, you're farming, you're building, like you're crafting stuff. You're going fishing. You can actually hunt in this game, which I was kind of surprised by. And I believe that there's other things that you could do in this game. But yeah, it's kind of like a slice of life thing. And you're able to do what you need to do and sell sell and trade with other people. And there are quests as to like the bigger picture, as to like, why are you here? What are you like? What is the future for this place? Pretty much the easiest way to put it is that it is Disney Dreamlight Valley as an MMORPG. Like, it's that kind of cozy. Like, it's that kind of cozy. It's those kind of quests that you see in the same thing. It's just not Disney.
I don't think this is necessarily an MMO. Like, there is
online component.
It is, but MMO is massively multiplayer online, and it is not massive. It caps at like 25. It's an online RPG, but I wouldn't say it's like Warcraft or Final Fantasy, where there are literally thousands of people playing in one instance at a time.
Okay.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is just considered to be an MMO.
MMO. Multiplayer online RPG.
It's like 30 or so people per world. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. It's just like, hey, did you outgrow Disney Dreamlight Valley? Or, like, do you wish, like, Animal Crossing had way more people involved? Like,
no.
Like, this is like, this is essentially what it is. It's just an MMO version of those games, which are really just single player versions of MMOs. Anyway,
well, let's talk about some of the new content that came, because with the release on console, there was also the Elderwood expansion. It comes with an all-new adventure zone. It also has the PS5 and the Series X releases, so it's finally on those consoles. It was originally just PC and Switch for a good while. There's a new chapter in the main story with some new quests. There's some form of forest infection that you have to deal with. Of course, there's the hunting, the fishing, the collecting, the foraging. They add new makeup, hairstyles, hair colors, stuff like that. New home decor, quality of life upgrades. And of course, new starter pack and founders packs for those who want to drop money on the premium store.
Pinky Bojangles.
Yeah. Jacob, did you look at the premium store at all?
I didn't. Because I'm broke right now. So that's just like, I'm not even going to try right now.
Reasonable.
So, unfortunately, I didn't go take a peek.
How dare you? But did you enjoy your time with this? Aki, it seems like you somewhat enjoyed it in some ways. Is this something you could see yourself going back to and fucking with a little more?
Probably not for me, because the majority of this game, you really are supposed to interact with most of the stuff to get the most out of this game, and most of the stuff just isn't for me, and the amount of tutorial I had to go through meant that I lost like 80% of what was told to me, and I don't even know how to interact with half of this stuff anymore. So, not really
memory of a goldfish.
Yeah, if I'm gonna play a game, I'm probably gonna, instead of playing this, I'll probably play Dismantled, which is a apocalyptic game where you get to break everything down. Because I like breaking stuff down. I reviewed it a couple years ago. Rather than playing this, just because it has more of a focus on the thing, one of the things that I very specifically actually enjoyed about this. So I probably won't go back to this one personally.
Makes sense. Jacob, what are your thoughts? Do you see this splitting time with Disney Dreamlight Valley?
I'm going to be honest. No. Here's the thing. All right. Pally is not a bad game. Like, it's just, for me, it's not what I'm looking for. I very much enjoy Disney Dreamlight Valley because I literally have to think about, I don't have to think about anything in that game. I could just vibe and chill out by myself. Okay. This is an MMO. There are tons of people. It's only 30, but to me, it felt like tons of people. Like bouncing all over the place, standing in front of me when I'm trying to like get, you know, to talk to somebody. Like, the game's beautiful. like, it plays fine. I mean, I enjoyed trying to fish. I was never successful at fishing, but like, you know, I understood the mechanic of how it was working. It just never, like, I just wasn't good at it. It's not bad. It's just, it's not my thing. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to return to it probably, but I'm not going to dissuade other people from checking this thing out. Like, it's a fine game. Like, if I liked MMOs, I could see myself doing this, but yeah. I don't. And so
my concern, it seems like all of us enjoyed the game. I had very limited time with it because of my arm. I did play some on PC. I didn't get to move over to Xbox yet. I did have it downloaded.
That's actually a good point too. That's actually one of the things I like about Disney Dreamlight Valley, and dirty jokes aside, like, I can play Disney Dreamlight Valley on a controller with one hand. You can't do that with this game.
Not even remotely.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
it seems like we avoided what could be the biggest issue with this game, the community. I'm looking at a lot of the reviews on the Xbox store, and it seems like the biggest problem with this game is a very toxic community, where if there's something you don't like about the game, people have gotten death threats from other users.
Jesus Christ.
That worries me. That worries the hell out of me. Like, there's people on the Xbox store who have said they got death threats because they didn't like the game. They've been banned from the community Discord because they didn't like relationship grinds. People have attacked them because they didn't enjoy parts of the game. I didn't run into that, but seeing so many people comment on it makes me worried.
Yeah, especially since I would have figured this was going to be more popular with the younger crowd than necessarily with adults. I wouldn't want a kid playing this now hearing that. That's unfortunate as shit.
Yeah, that is quite a bummer to see. There's like 200 some reviews on the Xbox store. 44% are 5-star, 37% are 1.
Oof.
Yeah. Not many in the middle. So it's either you enjoy the game or the community hates you.
Community hates me. I accept this. It is what it is.
All right. Well, we need a verdict. It's a free-to-play game. Is it worth downloading and checking out at least?
I think it's worth checking out. Like, I said,
it's worth checking out too.
Like, honestly, it's just, I'm not into MMOs. So it's not my bag, but other people, yeah, definitely check it out.
All right. Yeah, just be careful with the community, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this isn't my style of game. I think it's definitely worth at least checking out, seeing if it is, since it is free. But
yeah,
I'm not going to like the game, I don't think, ever.
Props to them for bringing it to Xbox and PlayStation. It's good to see the game on more platforms with cross play and progression. Very good to see stuff like that. Always fun when you could play on Xbox and then download it on PlayStation and continue playing there. So, good stuff.
Yeah, very nice.
Next game, Gore Doctor, developed by Salient Games, published by Ultimate Games. Released May 13th on Series X and S for $19.99. Gore Doctor is an immersive horror game packed with spine-chilling thrills. You wake up inside the twisted institute of a desperate doctor who's broken all the rules to save his wife Scarlet from a deadly illness. As Scarlet succumbs to her fate, the doctor descends into madness and becomes convinced that death is the only respite. Players must navigate nightmarish corridors of the doctor's institute, confronting grotesque horrors, uncovering dark secrets, and striving to escape with their lives intact. Can you survive the twisted labyrinth and unravel the haunting mysteries within? Ultimate Games hooked us up with a couple copies of this to give away. So if you're hanging out in our chat, make sure to enter now. Get your entries in. We'll be drawing winners later on. Big thanks to Ultimate Games for sponsoring the giveaway. Bree, tell us, what is Gore Doctor?
So you were kidnapped by clowns. and Awaken Yay. An Estrangement. Yeah, I know. You-
Buy it. You- Kidnapped by clowns. Buy yeah. it.
You awaken in a strange medical facility strapped to a stretcher that is being wheeled down a hallway while you're still dopey from the drugs they use to sedate you. And then we awake again in a room with a letter left by Dr. Abnell Gorberg, known as the Gore Doctor by those who couldn't comprehend his methods. We are his latest unwitting therapy patient, and we're expected to struggle to seek our own death by the end of his conversion. Some of the story is told in little texts on the load screen. You can read it as long as you need and then press A to continue. This is already less immersive than the story text or the store text promises. A lot of the rest of the story is told in letters and items we find and read or inspect. Like, we learn that the doctor lost his wife despite trying to use innovative therapies to save her, and that may have been what drove him crazy. The game is dark, like too dark to really appreciate some of the gore and macabre scenery. You even get a headlamp to make some localized light, and I felt that that was too dim. The game seems to be somewhat inspired by Saw, in that you have to kill other victims to survive, and they die in horrible ways, by like literal saw blades and a guillotine, and you'll find flayed victims and enemies with pig masks on that have become deranged from the doctor's experiments and will attack you. There are some puzzles that require you to find keys and codes and things in the environment. There's one more involved puzzle toward the end that was maybe a bit of a challenge. Maybe challenging for others. In comparison to the rest of the like codes and stuff were pretty easy to solve. This is survival horror, so you have a stamina bar that lowers when you run or jump. You find weapons like an axe and a pistol to defend yourself. I didn't find anything in the way of health packs, but you do heal over time. I did find some rare ammo boxes. The game autosaves at the end of certain segments, like whenever you get a load screen. Otherwise, you may need to repeat some segments of the game if you continue after coming back like I did. Your ammo and health also replenish automatically at the beginning of a new segment. The graphics are okay, the ambient noise is decent. There were some combat sections that were almost silly, where you could just run around behind the enemy and keep circling while you hacked at them with an axe.
That is a good method of killing things.
It is. The main boss fight at the end was a little bit of a letdown, but the actual ending after that paid off, and it had a nice hard rock credit song. No other spoilers than that. If you do miss a couple of the achievements like I did, you can load previous saves, kind of like a chapter select. I'd say the game takes less than 2 hours to complete. Also, the jumping in a couple of the small platforming sections was a little janky, little challenging. I didn't find it particularly scary, but I did have a good time with it. And maybe that's just because I don't find that the stuff in it to be particularly scary, but it definitely falls within that, you know, gore kind of category. So I had a good time with it.
Good. It's a $20 game. If you buy it in the next day or two, you could save $3. But the sale ends, I think, Monday or Tuesday, something like that. For $20, what do you think of Gore Doctor?
If you like a cheerful, bloody romp through dark spaces with body parts everywhere, this game is probably for you. It mostly relied on gore and atmosphere for its horror, and there were no real jump scares. I think the price is a little steep for what it is at $19.99, so I'm going to give it a buy it on a sale.
That makes sense. How big of a sale would you want?
I think like 15 or less would be perfect.
Is it worth picking up at $16.99 where it's on sale at right now?
If you really like the genre, go for it.
Sounds good. And again, if you're on the fence, hang out in our chat because we're giving away 2 copies tonight. Thanks again to Ultimate Games for that. And let's move on. Next game is Skin Deep, developed by Blendo Games, published by Annapurna Interactive, released April 30th on Steam for $19.99. Skin Deep is an immersive first-person shooter. We got sneezing, we got things getting stuck in your feet. Walk through a vast nonlinear starship and sneak, subvert, and sabotage to survive in this stellar sandbox. You're outnumbered, outgunned, and have no shoes. Welcome to Skin Deep. Aki, where's your shoes?
I have no fucking clue. I don't know why this bitch don't wear shoes. It don't make no damn sense, and it's kind of upsetting. All right, $20.
What's your verdict?
She needs to put her grippers away.
All right, tell us about Skin Deep. What's going on here?
Okay. This is a weird one. Straightforward. You play as an insurance commando, is what you're called, aboard spaceships, basically. More or less, cats seem to run the world now alongside humans, and they buy insurance, so if anyone attacks their ship, they have an onboard commando that goes and deals with the assholes who are, you know, plundering their ship. Ooh. And you are one of said commandos. You do not fuck around. You do not take names. You just kick fuckers out the airlock. It is fantastic. You have a third lung, which somehow allows you to breathe in outer space, which makes no sense, but I'm not questioning this game at this point. And basically, you wake up from cryo sleep anytime the ship's being attacked, and you go out and you're dealing with this specific gang of pirates, basically. It's just one gang that is targeting all the places that you're at, because fuck you in particular, I guess. And they have this neat little hardware that is basically save a head or save a skull or some shit like that. And basically, if you kill an enemy, their head pops off their corpse and gets slowly drug to a respawn point that rebuilds them a body so they can go back out and fight some more. So you can either let them keep doing that, in which they will alert everybody of your existence, or you can cake their head, keep it in your inventory, which you only have like five spaces, six spaces, something like that. And you can eventually jettison their skull into the fucking void of outer space. Or flush them down a toilet, or throw them into the trash compactor. You know, whatever it takes to get rid of the skull so it doesn't come the fuck back. Yeah, it's great fun. And you don't have any weapons, because apparently commandos go commando in this. So instead you're picking up things like bars of soap and throwing it at them so that soap bubbles land places so they fall over. So you can jump on them and bash them into something to pop their head off. Or you can, you know, grab a box of pepper and chuck it at their skull and make them sneeze their head off. Things like that. And it's a really fun, cute little action puzzle game trying to figure out how to deal with these people. You can just run through and fuck people up if you want, or you can be, you know, more stealthy and take them out without alerting anybody. Because if they get alerted, people check in occasionally. If there's a small alert, they'll check in all over the radio with literally everyone on the map. If you happen to have found an enemy that had a radio that you could take, if you've knocked out less than three of them, you can use the radio and pretend to be them, which is really funny. Radio only has three charges, and then it's no longer useful, period, ever again, so you throw it away or what have you. And yeah, it's just a fun little game. If you get caught, enemies will start going after you from everywhere on the ship. They'll spawn in robots that are called swordfish, and they just run into you, stab you, and then you're bleeding all over the place, and that's great fun. Yeah. If you get injured, you do have a menu to heal yourself, basically. It doesn't cost anything or anything like that, but if you get injured, you might leave a trail of blood, or maybe you make more noise, making you easier to find, stuff like that. As you have the heads in your inventory, they'll also make noise. So it makes it harder to stealth around as well, even if you have them in an inventory spot that isn't what is in your active hand. They're muffled, but they still make noise. If you have one in your hand, they're much louder, and therefore it's easier for enemies to hear you from further away. The enemies will lock down the different ways to jettison their heads out into outer space. So they'll lock down the trash chutes, they'll lock down doors and vents so you can't get through the ship as easily, they'll lock down windows, because the great thing about this game is if there's a bunch of enemies in a room and there's a few windows there, you can just break a window and suck all the air out and kill them all instantly. Just all at once, like snapping your fingers and it's done. It's fantastic. So yeah, it's just a really fun, cute little game.
Cool. It's $20. What do you think?
Oh, hell yes. This is totally worth it. This is right up my fucking alley.
Nice. Any other thoughts on it?
I hope you all like cats, because there's a fuck ton of them in the game, and they all talk to you.
As Marie, what are your thoughts on it? Chat.
Buy it.
All right, moving on. Next game, Preserve, developed by Bitmap Galaxy, published by Grindstone, released May 15th, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, PS5 for $14.99. Out of Steam Early Access for $12.49. Preserve is a relaxing puzzle nature building game in which you flourish a vibrant ecosystem by cleverly placing plants and animals to create a perfect symbiosis to your liking. Bree, what does that mean? I'm dumb.
That's okay. This is a complicated thing to explain, so I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to rely heavily on my notes more than normal. This is a puzzle strategy game all about nature. The goal is to find balance with nature, and you get harmony points for your score. There are levels in the game with different goals. You need to meet the score challenge on them. You're given a collection of hex tiles on each level with different qualities to them. There are different types of terrain like rocks and wasteland, grasslands, wetlands, and so on. But you can only place a tree on a grass tile, and if you have no grass tiles, you need to change that with something like rain. You might want to place bees, but they need wildflowers, or deer need grasslands. You need to have the right habitat for the job. And then you have cards that you use to place in the tiles. Things like trees and animals and rain and such you use to fill out your level's landscape. And each of the cards have different indicators on them as to where they can be placed. Like boars can only be placed in forest or marshlands. And when you place three of a type together like trees, you create a habitat like the forest. And then if you put three of the same type of animal, you get a bonus score. So it's all about that harmony, that symbiosis. In some cases, once you gain a certain score on a level, you'll get a map expansion, like in some of the modes. This will also give you more cards to play with, so it's all about creating natural landscape synergy. If at any point you want to, you can see a quick score sheet by pressing a button, and you can either leave that up or put it away when you want, which is really helpful when you're going for score. There's a mode that doesn't have score, so That's important to note. The controls allow you to zoom, rotate, move, and even tilt the map to help you see what you're doing. You will learn mostly by doing, in my experience, but there is a compendium on the menu with additional information on card scoring. I just put those two words together. placement rules. Effects, as well as there's some nature trivia in the compendium. Did you know beaver teeth never stop growing?
Really?
I didn't. That's why they constantly chew on wood, to keep them in check.
I actually knew that because I used to follow this family that kept a baby beaver. They were they worked at a wildlife preserve, and it had become orphaned, and so they raised it in their house. So I learned more than you'd expect about beavers, and those videos were really fucking cute, but you have to give them up when they're just about to turn two, because that's when they start becoming adults and aggressive and stuff, so they released them into the preserve.
But yeah, that was one of the things that I learned from reading the compendium.
Our friend Matt PA on the show, because he hates beavers.
I remember that now.
They're going to be the end of the world. They're going to destroy everything.
I mean, we exist. Yeah. He should be more worried about us destroying the world. We'll do it long before the beaver.
Yeah, I talked about how you could eat beavers for Lent, because according to people, any animal that lives in the water is a fish. So it doesn't count as a terrestrial animal, and you could eat beaver for.
What about a duck?
Yeah.
Awesome. What do you think of that, Matt?
What?
So yeah, there's a few modes for the game. There's the tutorial, There's a creative mode where you can just build whatever you want. And then there's the level biomes, or levels in the biomes. There's four biomes: continental, savanna, marine, and Jurassic. You'll have to finish the continental levels and get the basics down to unlock the other biomes. And then to add another layer to the levels, you can play in classic mode or puzzle mode. Classic mode is about score and allows a little more creativity, and that's where you get your adding on tiles when you reach a certain score, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then puzzle mode is about optimal placement with a set hand of cards and a map. So you don't get extra tiles and things for that. It's really, that was kind of challenging for me. There's also a photo mode for you to take pictures of your creations. All the achievements appear to be about getting score in classic mode for each of the sizes of map in each biome. The art for the cards and the land, simple and clean, easy to identify what you're looking at. You can tell that it's a boar. You can tell that it's trees or rain or rivers or whatever. The music is very woodwind heavy and feels airy and full of natural sounds, and it's like uplifting and also relaxing. It felt like the sort of music I might hear at a meditation retreat at a cabin in the woods. I had a good time with this one, although I'm still kind of confused on how to do some of the stuff.
Well, it's $15. Is it worth people trying to get into, or is this a bit too difficult for some?
I don't know that it's difficult. I think it's just a matter of figuring it out. Like, it's an interesting puzzle strategy game that's hard to explain, so I'm gonna just tell you to go out and try it for yourself. Like, I'm gonna say it's a buy it.
Very good. Next up, Forgotten Fields, developed by Frostwood Interactive, published by Nezhcraft, released May 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $11.49. It is a writer struggling with writer's block, attempting to recapture the feelings of inspiration he felt when he was younger. In order to pay the bills, he needs to think up a story and apply for a grant. The deadline is today, a lazy Sunday in the middle of summer. Jacob, what's Forgotten Fields?
So not only are you trying to meet a deadline for this, but you also have family stuff that you have to deal with. So your story is a writer. Like, I mean, you're just struggling to write and find your story. And as you keep playing the game and solving puzzles, you're actually going to come up with stuff for the story. And so you're playing two stories at once in this game. And it's pretty interesting. The visuals, I get them being what they are. But there were times where they actually took me out of the scene. Like, in some of the transition stuff, like you're sitting in a car, with three other people, and you're able to turn your head. And I do appreciate the fact that I can get a full 360 around. Like, you can't look up and down and stuff like that. But anyway, I appreciate that I can get that kind of view in it, but then I turn around and look at the people sitting in the back seat and they never blink once. It's like I'm sitting in a car with just like a bunch of like fashion dummies, and I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of creepy and it took me out of things, but the story's really good. I enjoyed very much. It's just like the conversations felt realistic. I thought that the story that Sid is trying to write, I thought it was pretty engaging and interesting in itself. The puzzles could be they could be hit or miss, especially like if the game didn't quite make it obvious as to like what you're supposed to do next. I mean, part of this is like you're supposed to be exploring stuff, but even then, there was no place to review the dialogue that was said, or some of the dialogue is kind of like blink and you'll miss it stuff. And it turns out like that kind of dialogue was actually telling me, oh, hey, I need you to go find the oil, or I need you to go do this. And it's just like, I missed it. So then I have to run around aimlessly, just like figuring out what, first off, what I can click on, and then if what I'm clicking on will even like properly respond for it. That kind of drove me nuts during it, but honestly, like with this kind of game, you're really there for the story, and it's really got a good one. I liked my time with this game.
How long was it?
To be honest, it's not a particularly long game. Like I'd say like 3 to 4 hours maybe. Like, but that's if you're also like, you know, walking around and doing everything. Cause I mean, there is some stuff that you can skip. Or good like
looking game. I'm looking at the screenshots on the store. I like the visual style to it.
They don't blink.
They just stare into your soul.
No, they don't even stare at me. They just don't.
$12, what's your verdict? Oh, go ahead, Bree.
Oh, I was going to say, I think this is the same developer as Rainswept, which is a game I really enjoyed, and Unwording, which was also pretty good.
They did the... Yeah, the dev is for Unwording. Not sure about the other one. I might have been clicking on the... I clicked on the devs. My bad. Yes, they also did do Rainswept. That was published by Too Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, it's $12. What do you think?
I like it. I'd recommend it.
Cool. Next up, Synesthesia, developed by Spire Games, published by Radleika Games, released May 16th. Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $14.99. Year's 2029, the Huntley Scientific Research Institute opened its doors to a select few young individuals gifted with extraordinary mental powers and mysterious abilities. Among them is Zeke, a university student with a rare form of synesthesia, a perception that allows him to see the hidden significance of objects through vibrant splashes of color. But what begins as an exciting opportunity quickly spirals into something far more dangerous. As Zeke uncovers the secrets buried within the Institute, he realizes his carefree life is over. Deeper conspiracy is at play, and he's already entangled in its web. Aki, what's going on in this one?
Okay, in this, you play as Zeke. You are a university student. This research facility has provided a lot of people free education from, I assume, elementary school all the way up to college, but only people who have this set grouping of mental skills, basically. Some of the people think it's, you know, mysterious superpowers, other things it's magical, and other people, you know, have a brain in their fucking head and have decided they're going to try and figure this out with science, which is why everyone's there. Yay! They're using you all as, you know, lab rats. It's amazing. You basically spend your days interacting with your roommate Jace, as well as a couple of friends that you have, beyond Jace, who's kind of a dickhead. You have the ability to occasionally, you'll look at something and it has a splash of color on it, and you know that is somehow in some way going to end up being important to you. You don't know how, you don't know why, just that it is. It is not an amazing amount of color. If you've ever done an eye test where you stare at a dot and the little shaky bit of line, black and white lines appear around your peripheral vision, and you're supposed to click the button, yeah, that's what it is. It's some shit like that in different colors that appear on things and are very hard to fucking see, especially if you're blind. Not that I'm upset by that or anything, or am worried that I missed a ton of shit because of that. Not at all. No, no, no. I wouldn't worry about that. But you're just trying to live your daily life. Jace has had some feelings because his ability is he is a little more in tune to other people's emotions and can sense them a little better, even if they're trying to hide them. And he's had a bad feeling about basically the entirety of the research people that are also your teachers and shit this entire time, and it's gotten significantly worse this year. The first day of your college classes, the lady who's teaching you for your homeroom, I guess it's supposed to be, he gets
wildly bad vibes from, and he's just like, you know, the vibes have always been kind of shit by everybody, but now it feels like something's about to seriously go down, and it ain't good. I don't know what it is, but we're fucked. So you two, as well as your friend Isla or Isla, I don't know exactly how it Isla. She's able to predict things about 10 seconds into the future at random. So everyone believes that it's not really superpowers. They're just more in tune with stuff that most people subconsciously just get rid of. They're more in tune with it and they don't realize it. So yeah, all of you and another couple of students, go about trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. There is a whole bunch of philosophy nonsense in this game, where Zeke, for some reason, just starts talking philosophy crap that has nothing to do with literally anything in the game, and I don't understand the purpose of it other than just padding out the writing, because it serves no purpose. It's just gibberish. Otherwise, it's kind of really slow, especially at the start. It does speed up a little bit. You got a few choices, but not many. They mostly impact your relationships with different characters, so you can get different endings after you get the first ending anyways. There's like, I don't know, 6-ish endings, I think. Something like that.
I think I found 4. 5, nice. Maybe.
There's also a few dead ends, which I doubt you found any of them, because I don't think there's an achievement for finding any of them. and then the game also has fragments, which is why I didn't complete the game like I usually do with these types of games. There are fragments where Zeke is in basically a dream state. It's also when he tends to have his stupid philosophical bullshit monologues, and the screen has a tendency to change colors rapidly and move shapes and stuff, and it's very bad for my photosensitivity, so those sections took me a lot longer than they should have to get through. They're not particularly long, but they made me feel really sick every time any of them popped up, and then I have to read stuff overlaid over that, and it just didn't work. So I only got into like chapter 2. I don't even know how many chapters there are, but I had to take this game real slow because of that. So yeah, Bree, you have any extra conversation bits? I know you obviously got further than I did.
The flow chart was really cool. So this is one that has a flow chart. My cat really deserves a treat right now, so I'm going to give her one of those while I'm talking. If there's some extra noise, I apologize. She caught a mouse.
Nice.
She caught a toy mouse, and she makes this special clawing noise, and then she gets a treat. So she is sitting here proudly displaying her dead toy mouse and waiting for her treat.
Does that mean it's so yeah, cat time?
It is. It is cat time. So yeah, flowchart is cool. And you can use that to navigate once you've done an ending or two, and go back to different spots. Like your relationships, will change. There's also, a mini game later on where you play, like a shmup. And that was kind of cool. Isla is like a big video game nerd, and partly I think because of her like not superpower of like knowing things 10 seconds before they happen, it makes her like extra good at video games. So that was cool, but I liked it.
Very good. Seems like you both dug it. It's $15. What do you think?
I think it's worth it personally. Yeah, unless same. You have photosensitivities, then maybe bypass this one, because they can get pretty bad if you're not good with like alternating colors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, sure. Yeah, I think it's really worth it.
I appreciated the conversation around the science of things, while like some people kind of consider some of these things to be supernatural and whatever, they were trying to find the science. And as someone with mild synesthesia, it was kind of a cool little thing to see represented. So that was cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. If anyone wants to know the type of philosophical stupidity that's talked about in this game, I will be posting it into the Discord. So come join the Discord, because I got two paragraphs, one right after and the other. There's like four of them, but these two are the two I grabbed, and you can see the background, the colors they were moving, and so was the white shape. It was constantly rejiggling, but I'll be posting the two paragraphs, and you can read them in our Discord in the general tab. Enjoy.
Yay.
Yeah, they're fucking gibberish.
Some late breaking news. Nintendo Switch Online added four Game Boy games tonight, with the Survival Kids and Gradius the Interstellar Assault from Konami, the Sword of Hope from Kemco, and Kirby Star Stacker.
Ooh, oh, nice.
That's hot on the heels of last week where they added Killer Instinct Gold to N64.
Yeah. So,
there we go. What do you think we draw a Gore Doctor winner?
I love that idea.
Let's do it. First winner is fucking Jacob.
Congrats, Jacob.
Nice.
God damn it.
Excited.
Oh, we'll have another winner later in the show. God damn it.
I win.
I'm going to laugh if I get the second win.
I'm going to enter in again.
I'm not resetting. Entered. You can't re-enter. Yeah.
Balls. Next so you're games. Still in it.
No, he just won.
Oh, it automatically removes him from it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Next game, Stratagun, developed by Horsefly Games, published by Numbskull Games, released May 5th on Series X and S for $10.99. In an alternate reality, you'd find Stratagun in your nearest arcade, consuming all your hard-earned pocket change. Stratagun is a modern interpretation of the arcade classics of the 80s. Easy to pick up, very difficult to master. Get your way through swarms of enemies, unlock weapons, ships, perks to increase your challenges or your chances of survival, and you conquer the coveted top spot on the leaderboard, or will you die trying? Jacob, I'm guessing you died trying. So what is Stratagun?
Over and over and over again. So Stratagun is it's pretty much like a 3D version of Asteroids. And you are, you're this like little spaceship that's in orbit around a planet, and, or maybe it's just a sphere. Who the heck knows? Whatever. Anyways. So there are these, like asteroids at first that are moving about, and I'm not gonna lie, it seems like they kind of track you, so you have to blast them instead of just being able to dodge everything. And while you're doing this, other enemies will start popping up, and apparently this game even has bosses. I've yet to meet them because I keep dying. And there's like a certain time limit or blast limit that I haven't really been able to figure out what it is, but like there's all these like dangers, like these buzzsaws that'll start popping up, and you have like with your little blaster, you can obviously blast away the saw blades, and the asteroids just make little tinier rocks that are going to float around and destroy you. And after you inevitably die, you get XP, which after, you know, you gain a level, you have a point that you can either spend on a certain ability, or you can gamble it and see if you can double your points, which I think that's kind of a fun feature with that. And as you gain levels, you'll also unlock more ships, more weapons, more perks, and after each run, you can decide whether you want to just go right back in with the same loadout that you had, or you can mess with it. I'm going to be honest, like, I did upgrade my ship, but I never felt like any of the other weapons that I got to mess with, they didn't mesh as well for me. Like, there are bombs that you can use, but there's also like a spiral gun, and you just shoot in like a 360 direction, kind of like Last Starfighter kind of thing. And honestly, I thought that, like, that, what?
Or Acolyte's like, so anyway, Jacob started blasting.
Ass blasting, maybe. Jesus.
No, no, it came out the front end. Yeah, I know. I should see a doctor
or something. What the? All right, Stratagun. What is it? Tell us more.
So, anyways, I'm using my dick gun in this game. But yeah, like, so there's like heavy weapons that you could use, like, as I said, the bomb, the, like, the 360 laser blast thing that's going on. There was also like a wave where it just like shoots a bunch of lasers forward, and it just, none of the other weapons or like the item weapons, none of them ever gelled. It was just like the first setup was the best for me, and I thought that was kind of interesting. But I suppose it also can play for different play styles, maybe even like different levels with bosses and stuff that, you know, I'll just never get to. But honestly, like, this game is addicting as hell.
I love this one.
Yeah, I was having a ton of fun with this. And the only times I would stop playing is like when my hands would act like I just wasn't able to hold a controller anymore. Because
he's nuts.
He has a big enough mouth.
Anyway.
Any other thoughts on Stratagun?
I really enjoyed it. Like, I think people should check it out. It's really addicting.
Cool. It's $11. What's your verdict?
Oh, hell yeah. Totally worth it.
And then we should probably address, why did we cover this so late? We should have covered this like a week or two ago. There was an issue with the game. It's been fixed. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So pretty much like launch day or like the day after, there was some sort of update to the game, and it actually prevented it from launching properly, and it would crash approximately like 30 seconds in. But yeah, that has been patched. Gameplay's great. I love it.
All right. Next up, Neko Bento, developed and published by Red Deer Games, released May 9th on Xbox One. Me coughing. Series X and S, $6.99. Bored with the food you take to work every day? Do you wish it was more meow-tastic? Neko Bento will let you put together your own perfect lunchbox. Here, your food will be made by a hardworking cat chef, and fitting in all the snacks will require your puzzle-solving skills. Bree, what's Neko Bento?
This is only loosely a cat puzzle game, but it's cute and I've already established I love these kinds of puzzles. This is similar to Fit My Cat, also made by Red Deer Games. But this time we're making a bunch of lunch boxes or bento boxes out of veggies, rice, sausage, and fish as a cat chef. Different food items take up a specific amount of space on the bento grid. Jacob, you'll love this game too, because you like Legends Aligned and stuff. It's very similar to that. So the bento grid varies in size, and the food is also shaped differently, causing you to have to rotate your food to fit. Sometimes the grid will have obstacles of rice in the way to force you to think a little harder. I like playing with my food and having pretty presentations, so I tried my hardest to make all the foods line up neatly in the same directions, in addition to solving the puzzle. And that gets impossible later on down the road, so I made it as pretty as I could. If you get stuck or make a mess, you can always use the Y button to try again. If you think you just need to move one or two pieces, you can select them on the grid and hit deselect to move them back to where they came from off the grid. This does not have free cursor movement. One complaint about the game is the highlight is a little weak around the food items. Instead of having a cursor, as I mentioned, you use the left stick to select items. That made this a tiny bit more challenging. And sometimes I felt like the items didn't stick in the spot, even though I heard the tick that locked them in place. Each time you succeed at a level, you get a cute little heart in a chat box from your cat chef. He's got a cute little chef hat on. When you pick up ingredients, you get a little dust cloud of kitty paws, which is cute. The art style is cute. I'm saying cute a lot. The music is jazzy at times. There are several tracks to keep you from getting bored. There are 100 levels, around 100 levels to love. I think there's like 96 levels. Progression of difficulty felt good. There are no hints to help you, though.
Ooh.
And I would I would also mention the squid was a little phallic.
Oh, really?
I sent you a picture. But yeah.
All right. Well, $6 on this one. What do you think?
The price is good. It's super cute. Buy it.
Sounds good. Let's pop that squid up on screen quick. Take a look at that. Look at that dick squid. Right there. Got a carrot.
Looks like a pink dildo.
Got a tomato. Got a bean.
That does look like a dildo.
And a dick squid.
Dick squid.
Dick squid. Dick squid.
Sounds like the name of the episode right there.
Oh, I wish. Next game, Legends Align Minis in Conflict, developed and published by Aphil Games. Released May 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, Switch, PS4, PS5, $4.99 each. Magical Box is back, and this time organizing miniatures has become more complicated. In Legends Align Minis in Conflict, you continue fitting miniatures into a box, but now rivalries are involved. Jacob and Bree, both you played this. Jacob, start us off. What is Legends Aligned Minis in Conflict?
So yeah, so with this version of Legends Aligned, you're trying to fit all these little miniatures into a box. But as you said in the description, there's now rivalries. And so like humans won't like the pieces, like a human won't lay next to an orc, or a dwarf won't lay next to an orc. Stuff like that, and the pieces
I'd lay next to an orc any day.
We know.
I know, right? Anyway,
what about a dick squid?
Probably not so much.
I don't know.
Live a little.
What if they've got a great personality?
They're not a giant orc muscle mummy. It doesn't work, I'm afraid.
but it could be like a, you know, a muscly squid daddy.
All right, yeah, so no. Legends just Aligned, saying. Tell us about it.
Just saying.
Legends Aligned.
So, yeah.
I'm Japanese. I've seen enough hentai. I'm not
Legends Aligned!
Aphil Games After Dark.
So, oh, we're all fired.
So yeah, so they fight, and then so you have to now figure out not only a format that works, like to get all the pieces to fit into whatever shape that you have to, but also that like none of the rivals will be touching
fall into the abyss,
which does create some problems. But you know, again, just like the other stuff, once you figure out which sides don't like the other ones, you know, it becomes pretty easy to, you know, to play this game. And yeah, it just keeps on being like the cozy puzzle game that it is. I like it.
Yeah, so nice. you get to put monsters in the middle of the two.
I forgot about them.
Yeah. Essentially they're neutral. And so part of your design at a certain point is figuring out how to get them so that they're facing the monster instead of each other, which is a cool concept. With the whole fantasy theme and the, you know, the minifigs and that sort of thing. It was definitely an extra layer that was really cool and made it feel fresh and new, which considering Aphil has put out Legends Aligned and Fit and Fry recently with that same kind of puzzle style, this was nice to see something a little fresh and new.
Very good. Got to give a quick shout out. Lloyd just rated us with 3 people, and Goldeneye dropped 100 biddies. So thank you to you both. Any other thoughts on Legends Aligned?
I don't have any other thoughts on it. I really enjoyed it. I'd recommend it.
All right, yeah, $5. What's your verdict?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Next up, Cypher Monk, developed and published by Aphil Games, released May 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, Switch, PS4, PS5, $4.99 each. Cypher Monk is a relaxing number puzzle game inspired by a brilliant but forgotten number system used by the monks in the 13th century. Unlike any other numerical challenge you've seen before, Cypher Monks invites you to think differently, to decode, rotate, and arrange mysterious ancient symbols that represent numbers from 1 to 9999. Jacob and Bree, both of you check this out. Jacob starts off with Cypher Monk.
So I'll be honest, I never bothered to find out whether or not this was an actual numbering system that a bunch of monks used. The game's introduction says that it is, but I never...
Oh, what's it called again?
I don't remember what the type of monks they were, but anyway.
Cistercian? So Cistercian?
That's a real monks? Thing. That's a real thing. I used to actually have that memorized.
I know, I just can't pronounce it.
So
Cistercian,
like,
yeah.
So like medieval nerds and just general nerds in general would like, they'd be like, oh yeah, this is going to be easy as pie.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, it's pretty easy once you've learned the basics of it. It's actually hard.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. So there's essentially like four quadrants that you have to mess with, and it's ordered. It is ordered like ones, tens, hundreds, and thousands, correct?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And that's like, I don't even know how to like describe the quadrants, but it's like upper right, upper left, lower right, lower left, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And so you pretty much just have to make like the numbers that the game wants you to make. And there is a guide that you can use, which one of the achievements, like, actually, I think there's three different achievements for it, but going all the way up to like 15 uses. And if you're unfamiliar with it, like I was, you're going to be popping in there more than 15 times. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you just have to make the numbers and then move on to the next thing. And eventually,
that looks fun.
Like subtraction is introduced. And yeah, it just makes it interesting and pretty chill playing it. I honestly enjoyed it. I didn't have any complaints, other than, one of the gameplay issues is that if you weren't controlling like the numbers, I guess you would say, for each quadrant, like a certain way, you'd then have to like move over and click it, like move the mouse over to, the cursor over to the piece and then click it again, like to start moving. I may just be dumb, but
you're definitely that.
Aside from like the square and the triangle, there's a dot for the lines, like
that. Yeah,
it's inside the middle dot of the quadrant, and it kind of rotates around there using like a bumper button or something. Or you can click on it with the cursor to like drag it to the different quadrants, and then you have to rotate it within that space.
Right.
Yeah.
I had issues with the rotation at some points.
Gotcha.
Make the jokes, Aki and Joe. I know you're gonna.
Oh, I stopped listening.
Who are you?
Whatever.
Yeah, it was fun to try and figure out the puzzles. Like, it was a cool little thing.
Yeah, it was a nice change of pace for the from the other AFIL games titles that we've played as of late.
It was not Sokoban. It was very interesting.
So automatically, it's a try it.
Did the game teach you the cipher, or did it just expect you to know it?
Yeah, that's the pop-up that you can do, yeah.
Yeah, the guide.
Okay. Okay.
And then you can kind of just like rotate things around and move them in the quadrant and kind of learn by doing too. There's actually like a way that you can hide the numbers to make it harder for yourself so that you're not like, but if you just want to fiddle around with things and learn it that way, the game allows you to, which is kind of neat.
This game has been added to my wish list. This sounds All right. really fun, actually.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is.
Cool. $5. Verdict.
Do it.
Jazzy. We got one five Hidden Kitties, Kingdoms of Mat or Cats. God, I can't talk. Hidden Kittens, Kingdom of Cats, developed by Penal Games, published by Silesia Games. Released May 14th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $2.99. Prepare for a delightful mission in a fantasy landscape. Many cats can be found across this magical realm. Every corner hides a fluffy surprise just waiting to be discovered. Over 350 of them, to be somewhat precise. Bree, Hidden Kittens, tell us about it.
In this Hidden Kitten game, you'll be challenged to find over 350 cats over a small kingdom. In this, you have a main overgame, like large castle grounds for you to explore. The main scene has some farm plots and some tents and a windmill that moves and a mermaid. And this is fun fantasy, so you'll find flying cats in the clouds, some dragons, even a luck dragon. There are several buildings. It's totally Falcor. There are several buildings that start out with locked doors, so you need to find a certain amount of kittens to unlock the doors. And then once you get into one of the four buildings, you'll find a smaller indoor scene, like a tavern or a throne room. Each kitten you find is unique and often getting into trouble. I even found Salad Cat, the meme, in one of the smaller scenes. Besides using your cursor to find cats disguised in the scene, each one also has a number of hidden cats that you'll need to click on things like barrels to find and make them pop out for you to collect. And they tells you on the screen that there's like 50 cats in the scene regularly, and then there's like 10 hidden cats. And so you can kind of count down and know like what kinds of things to look out for. The game features adorable black line art on a white background, but you can change that up a bit. There are several preset color modes you can choose from, like a dark mode and a pastel purple mode. You can also change the color for the landscape, the cats, and the doors, like to whatever you wish. It gives you a full custom color selector. And I just had a bug land on me. That's not okay. I hate gnats.
Set it on fire. Yeah,
I liked this game.
Did you?
I did.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
Is it worth $3?
I have a verdict that will surprise no one. The price is right. I love this game. Buy it.
Hold on. You have a button for this.
What?
I love Sawizia's cat games, so I will continue to buy all of them.
Yes, exactly.
Very good.
All right. They could create an After Dark game so easy, though.
Silesia Games After Dark.
Yeah, hidden kitties and big fat titties. I'm just saying, it's perfect.
Aki's not allowed to talk anymore. All right. Good stuff. All right, that is it for this episode. We made it through in under 2 hours, which is very impressive for how many reviews we had. Huh?
I said go team.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay!
You big old dumb idiot!
Very good. Does anyone have any final words to end this one?
Dick Squid.
Dick Squid.
Dick Squid!